Hey everybody, my name is Kenny McIntosh and you're listening to episode 52 of the Raw Rundown, which means it's been one full year that we have done the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes. And I'm joined by my co-host for the Raw Rundown, David J. McCutcheon. Hi, David.
Oh, hello, Kenny. Kenny, do you know what you interrupted me? So rudely interrupted me so we could record this big one-year Shabazz Fandango that we're doing right now. Do you want to know what you interrupted me doing?
I mean, knowing you is one of three things. You were either on a forum about heart surgery.
Uh-huh.
Complaining.
No, that's Fridays.
Okay. You were eating some form of tofu while scoffing as you did it.
It's usually broccoli these days, and I nearly vomit as I do it.
Or the third one is masturbation.
Earlier today, not right now. Kenny, do you want to know what you rudely interrupted me doing?
Putting a lawsuit in against Micro Championship Wrestling in St. Louis.
big shout out to my local friend Neil Kenworthy, who sent that to us on the Facebook community. Shout out to him.
Of all the places for there to be a micro championship wrestling show in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
the picture to that, they all look like they just got through with like a church after church like support group or something, right? Say no to drugs, kids, and meanwhile they're supposed to be hardcore. Kenny, they didn't even chew fiber optic glass tubing without crying, okay?
Pussies.
So I don't think that they even could. But you know what you interrupted me doing, Kenny? You interrupted me listening to episode 9 of the Power Slam podcast on Inside the Ropes YouTube page. With Mr. Finn Martin, I love listening to you two, and Finn has such a good voice, and he has such wonderful opinions. He's pretty much the opposite of me. So we go from Finn Martin to Dave McCutcheon.
I believe that what you're looking for is Finley Martin. That's the man you're talking about.
That is the man, the one and only.
Actually, well, do you know what? Since this is the one-year pod, I've made a decision about the Power Slam podcast. I think I should tell everybody.
Oh.
Due to overwhelming demand, we are going to make the Power Slam podcast available on iTunes. So
very nice.
People have wanted that. So basically, on a Thursday, it will still be on Patreon one day early. And then the Friday, we'll put a few clips up on YouTube, a few sort of like topics that we cover, but the whole thing will actually be on iTunes. So that will start this week with episode number 10. So there you go. But I do think that for all of our listeners, we should, since it's been a year, and we've kind of, you know, we've talked about it a little bit, but we should tell people why the Raw Rundown even came to Inside the Ropes.
Oh, we're going to reveal the origins of the Raw Rundown.
Well, you are. I'm just going to sit here and go, uh-huh, uh-huh. They can't sue you. You're in a different country.
Oh, I see. I mean, technically, so are you at the moment.
yeah, okay. Technically. But, so what happened was, I worked for another company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Woo!
Whoever you want to think about. I worked for another company and they would always ask me, you know, they want to do more podcasting and blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, David from the States is a loud mouth and that he'd be a good fit for Raw, you know, because David pretty much is Raw, you know, a little bit too much. Sometimes you get a really good bit, but overall you regret it afterwards. That's David.
Yeah. No. I mean, in general, and I do have a whole lot of advertising tattooed, plastered all over my body.
And illegitimate children abound, you know.
There's no doubt. Of all various colors of the rainbow.
Yeah. Did you know that David once had a child with former WWE diva Jazz? David was not consenting in this, but it happened.
I would let Jazz hit it. I'm just saying. Just right now. Jazz, if you're out there, you can call me.
What a horrible image to take us through. So then David came on board and we started what was called the Raw Reaction podcast. And It was essentially what we do here. It's the exact same thing, but we did it over there. And David initially was, well, I'm gonna stop because now it's your turn. Now you talk. Now you talk. I was gonna divulge everything. So that's on you.
Oh! I see. You hand me the shovel.
I may have said I did it for The Rock, but I did not really do it.
We essentially, me and Kenny said the F word way too many times, I would say, for the variation of the Raw Rundown that we used to do. And so, you know, we would go and you could say, Kenny, that we would react to the events that happened on Raw on a weekly basis. And I said, you know, Kenny, I don't think we need to react to things anymore. I think that we need to start running them down because we're so good at that, you know?
Oh, look, so, you're going to gloss over the truth. My God, you fucking politician.
I will say.
You're not going to do it.
I was owed a good sum of money. And to which case, by the way, whenever we were in earshot of said person who owes me said money at in WrestleMania season down in Orlando, my wife goes, "Where is that motherfucker? That's my money too that he stole from me."
You could almost say that there was a state of emergency.
Yeah, I mean, there practically was if my wife would have gotten a hold of said person. Do not invoke the rage of Valerie.
So, because the thing is, like, David does work an insanely busy job, and, like, you know, so, because the thing with watching Raw is, like, David would watch Raw anyway, but David might not watch Raw till Tuesday or Wednesday. Whereas, to do the podcast, you can need
Let's
to watch
be honest,
it on
more like on the weekend.
More on the weekend, or the YouTube clips. But, like, if you're going to do a podcast, like, you need to watch it on the Monday, and David's busiest work days are Monday and Tuesday, so for him to take the 3 hours to watch Raw and then to podcast about it the next day is a commitment, and he was not compensated for that commitment. So anyway, that all fell apart, and yeah. I was just kind of on the sidelines going, "Can't we work it out?" And we couldn't. So then I thought, well, why just not do a podcast? And then around that time.
Bear in mind, I was more or less told that my services were not worth the money.
Yeah, even though they were the ones that offered you the amount. It wasn't
even
like
we
you
had
went,
a verbal agreement.
It wasn't that you were like, "Give me this." They offered you the money and then did not pay
right,
it.
Right.
But
you can wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up faster, Kenny.
And but then around that time, the brand split came about, and it just seemed apt that we would do the Raw Rundown, because obviously the running joke with Sandra and I for years has been that I love to call things the Rundown, and she hates it. So, because you're running down the events on the show. So,
exactly. And sometimes, boy oh boy, do we take it to the woodshed.
Yeah, and then so because I made her call the NXT podcast that they did at first, her and Bob, before he died to get away from her, the NXT Rundown. And then she renamed it Yellow Ropes Forever, which is so stupid. Yellow Ropes Forever. Ugh.
I prefer Yellow Ropes Forever, Kenny.
You might as well call it Cat Cheese Fire. It makes as much sense. Yellow Ropes Forever.
Kenny, can I say that I would love to host a 205 Live podcast called Purple Ropes Forever?
Nobody'd fucking listen.
No one would listen, but furthermore, just like the 205 Live division, once you're in the Purple Ropes, you stay stuck there forever. Just ask Austin Aries.
Who by his new look has recently auditioned for Philadelphia 2.
God damn, that's vicious.
Oh, it's a joke.
Oh, it is a joke. It's a great one, too.
Anyway, So, well, you know, speaking of, you know, this is a tenuous link, but so obviously I'm out in Canada, and I came out here, and so I'm having a really good time, and it's actually really nice to have a break, and for the first time in like 6 months, I genuinely feel a little bit rejuvenated. I know it's just stupid. And I know that the drunk podcast that we did a couple of weeks ago, I think I'd said something quite emotional about the Goldberg tour or something.
Yeah, yeah, I think you did. It's all a blur, not as much to you as it is to me, but yeah, yeah, for sure.
No, it's a blur to me. It's a complete blur to me. I don't know what I said. Because I was going to, when I was about to edit that, I thought to myself, I was really drunk. Maybe I should listen back to it. I thought, if I listen back to it, I won't put it out. Like, I'll edit that part.
Yeah.
So I thought,
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
just put it out. And then I asked Sondra, who's usually the beacon of integrity on this show, and I said, how was I? And she was like, you were drunk. You were really, really drunk. And I was like, okay, fine. And I was like, but did I say anything that was like really bad? She was like, no, not that bad. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm never going to listen to it. But anyway, so I'd say...
I will say I was stopped at a wrestling show and told by one of our listeners that it was amazing. like he stopped me and he goes, David, Kenny was so drunk, wasn't he? And I'm like, yeah, no, he was really really loaded.
I was blessed.
You went into a rant about somebody who was trying to quick change you, the old quick change scheme, and
what?
Like this guy was all like, oh no, that was amazing. I love that. That was so good. Fuck that guy. Kenny was 100% in the right.
No, like, wait. What's a quick change?
A quick change is where somebody tries to steal money from you.
Somebody tried to steal money from me?
Kind of, sort of. Wanted a refund for one of the shows that you
did.
Oh,
yeah, that... Okay. Yeah, because I was going to edit that out because I felt bad. And then I was like, but if I edit that out, I have to edit the rest out. But yeah.
No. That was, like, his favorite part. So okay. no matter what, you won one fan over one.
Well, no, do you know, I will say, of all the podcasts that we've done in the last 12 months, that one... is the one that I got the most, like, insane feedback about, where people were like, please do one drunk again. Like, please. To the point where I am thinking about, when I get back to the UK, because the problem is, when I do the podcast here, like, right now, we're recording this at, like, 20 past one in the afternoon. So I can't really get that blitzed at this time. But in the UK, we record late at night. So what I'm thinking about doing is, when we get back, maybe we'll have a podcast, and I will just go out and, like, day drink. I just see what happens.
Do it.
So and yeah, people were like, can we buy Kenny that vodka that he had so that he continues to drink it on podcasts?
Need to make Kenny into an alcoholic.
But so anyway, I came to Canada, it's been really fun and all that. So I was catching up with various friends because I used to live in Canada for a year, etc. And like the people that serve like coffee in Canada, I don't understand them. Like, there was a guy yesterday, right? So I'm in the Starbucks. Now, the Starbucks out here also serves alcohol, which is glorious. Don't know how that works. But
That's pretty good.
Starbucks serves craft beer. Anyway, so there's this guy behind the counter. And there's a... He's like an Asian guy. He's got glasses. And he's got this, like, really funky hat on. That's almost like a Heisenberg hat. I don't know how you'd really like to wear that in a shift. Anyway, so, like...
Yeah.
I don't drink tea or coffee, right? It's just, I've never liked it. I don't like the taste of it. Ugh. Anyway, so I go in and I get a bottle of water. And I take it up and the guy just goes, are you just getting a water? Is that all? Is that all you want? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay. So I buy it. And then he goes on to the next customer. And the next customer says, hey, what can I get you? And the person's like, I don't know. And then they're like, how are you today? And the guy goes, well, I'll tell you this. My cash register is now working, so I'm so much better now. And I looked at him with utter fucking disdain. Your day was perked up because a fucking cash register's working.
Well, I mean...
I wanted to go out and find him a prostitute immediately. And just have her take him in the back and show him life. Show him what life can be. Show him... Give him a sense of...
I don't know what the life of a prostitute is.
Well, I tell you this. If he goes in there for 10 minutes for a good prostitute, and he comes out, the last thing he's going to be thinking about is a fucking cash register, right? The last thing. So, I always have this thing when I come out to Vancouver, where, like, Vancouver's, like, the coolest fucking place. It's got, like, mountains and beaches, and it's the most... It's so cool. And, like...
I feel like that's the only time I've ever heard Vancouver referred to as cool.
But the other thing is, that's really weird, is Canada is, like, such a nice place. And it's so weird that it's basically, like, it's like people have taken the best parts of America and given you Canada. But then they've also, like, given everyone, like, Xanax, so they're all, like, in a little keel where nobody gets too excited about anything. And they're all just, like, very blah. But one of my friends, Tom, who's from the UK, and Tom went to a WWE house show in Vancouver. I don't know if you saw this, David, on the community, as Fiona would say. And he had went to this house show, and there was an 8-man tag team match. It was the one where it was supposed to be Jinder versus Nakamura, but Nakamura couldn't get in the country, so they sent Seth instead.
Yeah.
And there was an 8-man tag. Digest this piece of shit, right? Breezango, Mojo Rawley, and Sin Cara.
Oh.
Against The Ascension, Epico, and Eric Rowan.
Why did Rowan get thrown in there? That seems like a really weird place to put Rowan.
That's your only question? About match? Someone took a shit in the ring with 8 people. That's your one question.
Wanted to know what they ate. I mean,
Tom and I are chatting, right? And we're because we meet up for the first time since I've been back, and we go down to like this place called English Bay, which is on the, you know, there's the beach and the sunshine. It's a Saturday night. It's really nice. And he's like, oh, I've been listening to the podcast and seeing how everything's been going. It sounds like it's been going really well for you. And I said, yeah, how have you been? And he's like, oh, I'm good. I'm applying for my permanent residency in Canada and your job's going well. And he goes on hikes all the time. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And then he was like, and he had this look in his face, like he had to tell me something that he knew that I would be upset about. And I was like, what is it? And he was like, oh, I'm a vegan now. And I looked at him and I was like, what the fuck? You're a fucking vegan?
Get out of my house.
And I was like, why? Like, like this is a man who loves cheese. I feel like he has had sex with a block of cheese at some point in his life. This is a man who loves cheese.
No, since I can't have it anymore, that's generally what I do. It's the lewd fandango.
Right? But the other thing is he would, like, when we lived together for a brief time, not in, like, a civil ceremony kind of way, but we lived together in a house with, like, 5 other people. It wasn't an orgy. It was just to save money. But we all lived together. And he would buy these, like, salted caramel peanut butter pecan ice creams. You know, basically diabetes in a tub.
Right.
And now he's a vegan.
The hard thing about being a vegan is, like, no ice cream, not real ice cream. You know, I was for a very short period of time. That shit's not real ice cream, Kenny.
But here's the difference. And Tom, if you're listening to this, here's the fucking difference. Do you know why David was a vegan for a bit? Because he almost fucking died. And he had to be one. So he's sitting there and I was just like, I couldn't comprehend it. So I had a bit of a fit. You're a fucking vegan? Why? These fucking, oh my god, plant strong, oh god, okay, fine.
I feel like him telling you this is like some southern child who was born gay trying to come out to their southern Baptist parents.
That's me. Listen, I am the owner of the Westboro Baptist Church at this point, right? That's who I am. I'm Gramps at this point, and I'm like, what the fuck? And so then he came over last night because tonight we're going to watch Trainspotting 2 at the movies. And so we all watched Trainspotting 1 last night, which, by the way, it fucking holds up now. Because I don't know, did you see this thing? I'm sorry, folks. This just drove me insane. You know the thing about in London that they're no longer going to say ladies and gentlemen in the underground because it's offensive?
No, I think I heard something about it.
Right. I mean, I can't even go into that. But...
I mean, ladies and gentlemen is pretty inclusive. We need to tell Paul Heyman that he needs to work on his verbiage.
Yeah, that's like saying Paul Heyman.
Ladies and gentlemen,
everyone, my name is Paul Heyman. apparently, people felt that it wasn't gender neutral enough, and I'm like, listen, I am absolutely pro trans and LGBTQ and all that stuff. But come on. Ladies and gentlemen, a fucking tannoy in an underground's offensive? Jesus Christ. So anyway, in Trainspotting, Renton said at one point, he was like, in 100 years, there won't be men and women. There'll just be wankers everywhere. And I was like, we're there now! That's where we are! Didn't take 100 years, took 21! So anyway, so Tom's talking about being a vegan, and then he's in... And then we're in the house last night. I said, okay, Tom, I'm going to ask you a question. To prove you're vegan. Because he came over with some vegan snacks, which is essentially turds in a fucking bag, right? he's got a little tub of peppers. I mean, there's nothing more fucking tragic than a man with a tub of sliced peppers. I mean, that's just tragedy 101. Do you know what I mean? That's a cry for help, really.
I love a good pepper, Kenny. Don't get me wrong. But that shit needs to be in something. That needs to be in a thing full of chicken breast.
Yeah,
right?
Not as a fucking movie snack.
Right, right, yeah. Eat some popcorn. Popcorn's whole grain. Just have it without the butter. There right. You go. Boom.
So we're sitting there watching the movie, and I said, right, Tom, I've got a question for you. To prove his commitment to veganism, and he fucking failed, right? He fucking failed. Because he's a big... fraud vegan, right? I said, right, okay, here's a scenario for you. Say you murder somebody, right? And you go to prison. And then on the last night, before you die, you're being executed tomorrow, you get your final meal. Will that be vegan? And he went, well, no, probably not. I'd probably have a steak. There! 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 You're a fucking fraud! Basically, if you're a vegan and you tell me, that's probably the conversation I'm going to have with you. But if you get me past that point, I'll just let it go and it'll be fine.
You don't like change either, Kenny. And one of your good friends changed.
Well, yeah, but he's changed. It wasn't like he changed for an ethical reason, right? I could understand
sure,
that because
yeah.
I'm one of those people, I know, I'm not going to say who it is, but there's a wrestler who's pretty famous who's vegan and he apparently had said to somebody else, he was like, you know, the reason I became vegan, or one of the reasons, was because somebody showed me something about, like, animals and different things, and then I kept looking and looking and looking, and if you go down that vortex, you won't eat anything. You may as well just kill yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that is a dangerous road to go down.
Here's the thing, right? I 100% accept that I have probably, at some point in my life, eaten a burger from McDonald's that contained jizz. I do not care. I like McDonald's burgers. I am not going to look. It's like, do you know that in McChicken Nuggets there's only 3% chicken? Yeah, but it's good! I don't give a fuck what the other 97% is. I'm still alive. I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Kenny, I landed in Detroit whenever I went to Bay City, my wife's home country, as it were. And whenever I landed, it was midnight, and I was starving. I didn't get to eat anything. Like, mm-hmm. The entirety of the day. I, like, got to eat at, like, 10 a.m., and it's now midnight. And I'm going, I just want food. The only place that is open is McDonald's, one of my favorite fast food restaurants.
Well, that's one of those moments in life that you almost get hard because you're so happy.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting in the drive-thru, and I'm going... Is this worth taking 3 days off of my life?
Yes, it is! And
I'm sitting there and I'm contemplating it. And they go, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order? And I just go, McNugget combo, please! And I'm just sitting there smiling ear to ear like, yes, it is! It fucking is!
It's totally worth it. So in North America, you can get the beauty... The absolute majesty of a double quarter pounder with cheese. I mean, there's not much better in life than that. So, because in the UK you can ask for it, but they charge you double.
Oh, I see.
It's like another 50 cents for the double. It's like nothing. So I had one the other night and it was just like, you go large, right? Because you go, don't be half pregnant. And you sit there with a double quarter pounder and a fucking bucket of fries and a huge thing of Sprite and you just think, it doesn't get any better than this. This is life. This is happiness.
Well, It should not be any better than that, because if it's anything less, then you're dying for no reason.
That's true. And before we talk about Raw, because I know we need to talk about Raw, but Mark Rennie had said on the Facebook group, you know, is there no tales about my mother this week? But I do have one very quick one, if you'll indulge me.
Of course.
So, my mum, I made the decision, stupid decision, to move house the day before I went on holiday. Because,
you really know, dumb decision.
I'm not stressed enough without having to do that. So my mum's like, you know, I'll help you move, Kenneth. I'll help you move. But she's got arthritis in her knees, so she can basically carry like a bag of crisps, right? That's all she can carry. Sure. So basically, she's useless to be there. She's essentially making
she's
things
harder. She's there for moral support. Come on now.
She's making things harder. You may as well have a friend who can actually carry something, right? So I'm carrying fucking every single thing that I can. And then I'll be carrying like two boxes and she'll be like, she'll make a comment and she'll be like, where's that thing? I don't know, I'm carrying three boxes. Can I come back in 2 minutes? Okay. So I go downstairs and I'm getting all the stuff. So anyway, we get in the car, we drop all the stuff off, I go and get a haircut, and then we're going to go for something to eat before I go in the train. And we're in traffic and we're just sitting there. And she says, are you looking forward to your trip? And I said, I'm really looking forward to it. She said, that is good. Silence. You can tell she's thinking about something. And she says, Kenneth? I was like, uh-huh. She went, don't be getting out of your face and all the drugs when you're over there. I was like, what? She said, don't you be taking all that cocaine that I heard about. I was like, what? And she was like, Kenneth, just don't be getting out of your face, okay? That's all I'm saying. I was like, is that what you think I'm going for? I was like, do you think I'm going to be like testing out crystal meth in Canada? Is this what you think I'm doing?
But that's what I really love about it is that it's Canada.
she was just like, she was so serious. Don't you be trying any drugs, right? I was like, Mum, if we're going to be honest, I could break some news to you. It's probably going to make this conversation a whole lot harder. But actually, do you know what? To break the fourth wall. So yeah, fuck it. I'll tell this story. I was 21 and I was living in a flat, and my flatmates took tons of cocaine and I didn't take any because I was a good person or a bad person, but I was trying to be sensible, right? I was trying to be like on the up and up.
Sure,
And about 3 months in, I was one night I was quite drunk and I was like, do you know what? I should just try it, you know, to just know that it's for me or not.
Go for it. Why not? I'm the devil on your shoulder in this instance.
So... And I swear to you, I am not making this up. 14 lines of coke that night.
Oh my God. So it was for you, basically what you found out.
No, people were enabling me. That was what was happening. So the night finished about 5 in the morning and I just passed out, right? And I wake up at 9 a.m. with the worst feeling I've ever had in my life, which I would be told later was called a come down. My mum's a nurse. So I thought, right, I'm just going to phone my mum and come clean. So I phoned my mum and I was like, Mum, I've taken a bunch of coke, right? And I don't know what to do. And, you know, what do I need to do? And she was like, she almost fell off her chair. You know, she was trying to eat her toast and her son's confessing a coke binge. And she was like, you've taken what? And I was like, I've taken coke. How much have you taken? How much have you taken? I was like, 14 lines, and this goes on, right? And I said, Mum, look, let's get to the situation. How can you help me? She was like, Kenneth, I know exactly what will make you feel better. I was like, oh, thank God. And she was like, and I'll phone you in 2 hours and tell you goodbye. And hangs up. The bitch hung up. Right? Wouldn't take a call for the next 2 hours. And then she phones me. And she's like, right, okay, go to the shop, get some orange juice, and give me all these little instructions, and I felt better within an hour. And then a couple of days later, I was like, why did you not tell me straight away? And she was like, you needed to suffer and know why. and I remember she was like, you're not becoming him at a train spotting, right?
Like,
she thought I was going to get hooked on heroin. Anyway, 11 years later, she's still telling me, none of that coke. None of that coke. Anyway, so... My mother.
Big Mama Fiona.
Oh, God. Anyways.
My fave.
Should we talk
She's
about...
in my fave, Bob, dog.
Should we talk about Raw?
I mean, do we have to?
Let's
I can. It was a good run.
Yeah, let's talk about the big stuff. So it's from Nashville, Tennessee. Everyone is very intrigued as to what the secret's going to be. Is Dixie Carter going to show up?
In the words of the band Styx, secret, secret, I've got a secret. That was that's a little Mr. Roboto for you there, Kenny.
I'm like,
full of pop culture references.
From 1973. Going into the show, what did you think the secret was going to be before anything was revealed?
I thought it was going to be an affair with either Dixie Carter or Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I thought the same. I didn't think the love child thing was going to happen. But anyway, so we opened the show. Dean Ambrose comes out. He wants to face The Miz. Before he can do anything, Seth Rollins comes out. And then Rollins basically says, you know, are you going to be stand by my side like a brother? Are you going to be against me? And this just makes Ambrose go nuts. He's like, you're not my brother. My brothers were in the Shield. You look like the guy in the Shield, but you're a liar. And just basically, you know, tells him everything that he thinks of him. And Seth Rollins is like, that was 3 years ago. I'm sorry. You know, what's it going to take for you to move on? And then Seth hands Dean Ambrose a chair and turns around and says, do it. Hit me. Hit me as many times as you need to make yourself feel better. And everyone's chatting yes. And then Dean Ambrose just flings the chair out of the ring. Then The Miz comes out and The Miz Taraj basically do a number on Ambrose and Rollins. I thought the Ambrose and Rollins stuff was really strong and I really enjoyed it.
No, this was really cool. I really enjoyed it. We've already been over last week why I love the Dean Ambrose not forgetting thing. I think it's great. This is the type of stuff. Whenever the crowd was booing Ambrose for bringing that up, I'm like, fuck you guys, you dumb redneck yokels. Just because I never
shout out to all of our listeners in Nashville.
Yeah, no. They know, Kenny. I'm not telling them any new information here. But this was really dynamic. It was great. It was wonderful. I love that there's storyline continuity, something that we very rarely get in the WWE these days. Man, just dynamic stuff. Ambrose was great in this. He threw the chair out of the ring, in my opinion, in disgust, meaning no matter how many times I hit you, it still won't take it back. So, you know, of course, Seth's sitting there thinking, oh, let bygones be bygones, and trying to come up with some solution to get him to trust him. But Dean Ambrose, a phrase I never thought I would say on this show, Dean Ambrose is smarter than that, Kenny. Dean Ambrose knows that Seth Rollins is a low-down, dirty snake in the grass.
Yeah, I think it's so key that he was bringing all this up. And I think it was really interesting television to watch the two of them, to watch Seth try and kind of, you know, he's trying to not be too kind of like, you know, I sold out and da-da-da. He's just trying to, you know, let bygones be bygones. But I thought it was really strong. And I think The Miz and The Miz Taraj are starting to kind of click a little bit. You know, it's very clear that Miz is the figurehead and the star, and the other right. two are being propped up and getting a rub from him. I think it works.
Yeah, it's fine. I tweeted. I think that The Miz should go by the director now. He's got some goons to direct the traffic a little bit.
Yeah, and it works. So then we get Bayley versus Alexa Bliss in a non-title match, which Bayley wins. We get Sasha and Nia Jax getting involved. I'm so bored of the Raw Women's Division.
I'm so bored of every women's division right now, which is really, really a shame.
Thank fuck for the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, no kidding, man. This. I get where they're going with this. This is going to be another four-way dance deal.
It'd be fine, right? If it wasn't the same fucking story you're telling me the main event.
Yeah, and like the same thing that we've seen essentially at WrestleMania, just different partners, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
The thing is, there's not really anybody that I want to see beat Alexa Bliss right now.
Yeah,
there's not really been a story for me of anybody who it means much right now. You know, if Sasha won, yeah, fans would pop, but does it mean much? If Bayley won, yeah, they might pop, but does it mean much? If Nia wins, doesn't feel they put enough story into it yet. Like, it doesn't really, none of it feels like it matters at the moment, which is my issue with it. It's like the wrestling's fine, and Alexa Bliss is a good champion, but it just doesn't really feel like it means, nothing really feels like it means anything.
You want to know what I would do in this scenario, Kenny? I'm going to take you down the fantasy booking wormhole. I would have Sasha win the title at SummerSlam after Bayley hits her finisher on Alexa Bliss. Sasha would throw Bayley out and steal the cover.
That is good. That's a nice bit of tension between them.
It would build up both performers and give them some sort of tangible thing to hold on to and go, well, these two women are good because of X, Y, and Z, as opposed to now we have these two women are good because they're good in the ring, and that's about it, you know? So,
yeah. It's a thing.
It is indeed a thing, Kenny.
We get a video package on ESPN's ESPY Awards. Ugh.
Yeah, just total corporate wank job, right?
But not even the corporate wank job. It's like when you get the stuff like, you know, the Eric LeGrand from WrestleMania weekend, you go, that's kind of cool that, like, you know, guy had a really bad injury and he's getting this cool moment. You know, it's that stuff that, even though it's corporate stuff, it's being masqueraded in a nice enough way. This was just like, ugh.
They like gave them the award for the corporation that puts on the best face for charity. And I'm just like, oh, that really rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, man, oh man, if the reason you do charity is to go and pat yourself on the back for it. Kenny, I donate to charities all the damn time, and very rarely do I go around masquerading how much with a fucking charity mask on, boasting about how much I've fucking donated. So, I don't know, man. It's rough. I see that kind of stuff and I get nauseous, you know?
Speaking of nauseous, Titus O'Neil's backstage. What?
what a transition. I love you.
He's backstage with his favorite tag team, Akira and Tozawa, and Apollo Crews.
A whole year of this shit, folks.
We're still on the air.
We're still on the air and kicking.
Apollo Crews is there. He's had a baby. It's not giving him any personality, but he had a baby.
He's really lost a lot of weight to have that baby, Kenny.
He got back in ring shape real quick.
Good for him. He took off the baby weight like you wouldn't believe.
I know. What a person. So then Aria Divari came in after Titus was given a pep talk. And he said, you know, if Akira Tozawa has any honor, he'll meet him in the ring so he could finish what he started last week before Neville interfered. And Akira Tozawa was up for it. And I was when this was happening, I was looking in my bag and I was looking around the room and I was trying to find a shit that I could give about it. And I could not find one. Did you find any?
Well, I definitely found some shits to give, but they belong to my cats. So, you know, I mean...
And then if that wasn't bad enough, we get that takes us right into Mustafa Ali and Jack Gallagher against Brian Kendrick and Drew Gulak. And it's like, they're all good performers, nothing against the guys at all, but just this vortex of 205 Live is just, oh my god, it's so crap. I just don't care. I just have no...
It's not good, Kenny.
You're watching Mustafa Ali do an inverted 450 at the end, which is insane.
It's just the most insane shit on the planet. And the matches are fine, but the reason...
Gallagher does these great fucking headbutts, but it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't feel like any of it matters.
No, it doesn't. It feels like... It feels like watching your favorite WWE performers who put on just amazing things, and the WWE might as well... By the way, they did away with the purple ropes this week. I don't know if you noticed or not. But
I did not notice, which shows you the attention that I pay. But I'm glad they have got rid of them, because you remember the night after WrestleMania and we were there, and how long it takes to do the props to those fucking crew guys, how quickly they can get that done.
Yeah, no, they do a world-class job, as they should. But like, This stuff, though, it's like they show you these guys, and then they might as well just flash a graphic on the screen like They Live or something that just says, we are wasting your time and we're wasting their time as well. There is a glass ceiling which they will never break. Enjoy watching these Muppets come out here and wrestle for your amusement. It's just like, I don't know, it's like watching a show, and before the show, like right as you're getting into the show, and you're like, oh man, I really like this character, then the creator of the show just goes, they like waltz right into your living room and go, oh, that's the character you like? And you go, yeah, I love that character. I think that's why I watched the show. And they just go, all right, let's see. Na, 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 na. And they start scribbling down on their notepad. This is a list of characters that we're going to kill in the next season. So because you like them, they just made the list. And that's why I can never get emotionally invested in anything. And before the tournament that they had, the Cruiserweight tournament, I said, this is just going to end up pigeonholing all of these performers. And I was fucking right again, Kenny. It sucks being so smart sometimes.
I mean, the problem is that I just don't think that in this day and age, a cruiserweight division can work. And again, I've said it before, or as Jim Cornette says, once again, I wasn't as high on the Cruiserweight Classic as everyone else was. I get that everybody loved it, and I totally appreciate what it was. So I don't want to belittle any of it. It was really good wrestling. But I don't really get that much out of just good wrestling. I need story. The problem with story is that it's like the Cruiserweight division, the whole thing is just, it's not even a mid-card, it's an opening match act. That's how it's been presented. But because of the way that wrestlers wrestle now, you can't really have a cruiserweight division. So it's just a broken concept. And I don't think there's a way to do it.
There is a way to do it. And I can tell you how you fix the cruiserweight division immediately.
Transport them to 1998?
No, not even that. Not even that. The reason the cruiserweights fail in the WWE is that they're wrestling a WWE style. Why was the Cruiserweight Classic so different and so much of a breath of fresh air and unlike anything else on WWE television? Because it wasn't presented in WWE style. They wrestled an indie style, and it was wonderful. They wrestled strong style. They hit each other a lot harder. They took more risks. They didn't go along with the pacing. They didn't follow the commercial breaks. You put this stuff on SmackDown, where they air all the footage during the commercials, and you give them those segments. And you allow them to wrestle their style, not the WWE style. That way it actually stands out, the way that the Cruiserweight stood out 25 years ago in WCW. That's how you change the game. That's how you fix it.
It's certainly worth a try.
It can't be worse. I know that much.
It can't be worse. So then we have a promo from Enzo Amore who comes out, and another passionate promo. A lot of the kind of same stuff he's been talking about before, but again, you know, the crowd are into it, they really like him. And it ends up with Cass coming out. Cass walks towards the ring, but Enzo kind of goes away, and Enzo says that he's going to sit and watch as Cass faces the Big Show. He's going to sit in the crowd. So Big Show and Cass have a fight. It's not a match, it's a fight. And Cass shows some good fire, you know, kicking Big Show and really doing a number on him. And then Enzo comes in and gets booted in the face straight away, and Cass leaves them both laying. What did you think of this segment?
Segment was fine. I think it's the weakest one that they've done, though, like as a collective angle. I was surprised at how much offense Cass got in on Big Show, but I guess Big Show's comments are coming to haunt him now that he made where did he make those? Jericho's podcast?
Talk is Jericho, yeah.
Yeah. I guess he's getting his receipt.
I think the clear thing here is that WWE don't see a lot in Enzo Amore.
Because
he's being used to prop up Cass, which is fine, but like, but then, you know, the other thing is, I don't know where you put Enzo. Because if you put him on 205 Live, he becomes stuck in that vortex. I think that he could be main roster and could be a decent mid-carder, but...
I think you just give him the road dog role.
Do you know what I would do? I would... now you've got Jason Jordan on Raw, I think maybe you send Enzo to SmackDown. Maybe that's where he goes.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Like, seriously. If have him do the big blow-off with Cass and then put him over on SmackDown. You could do a lot with a character like Enzo Amore in a playground where personality gestates the way that it does with SmackDown. So, yeah, I think that's a good fit. And plus, I mean, Enzo's kind of worn out his welcome with the Roman Reigns, Roman Empire, so to speak. At least on the bus.
Yep, he has. So, but, you know, the segment was fine. It's all seemingly building to Big Show and Cass at SummerSlam. And I think they could probably have a decently 10-minute match. You know, it could be fine.
Yeah.
We get a backstage promo from Roman, who talks about when the stakes are high, he's at his best. He beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He's going to beat Samoa Joe tonight. He's going to go on to beat Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Seeing the name The Big Dog, it's rubbish, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's all me and Val do is make dog puns and dog jokes every time we see him.
Like The Big Dog. I mean...
Do you think that Vince has to clean up his shit for him?
No, remember Jericho did it for Stephanie? My God. That was dross. Roman Reigns, fine. The promo's fine. Then we get Ambrose and Rollins sort of arguing about what happened earlier. Kurt Angle says next week they're going to face the Miztourage because Ambrose and Rollins want all three of them rather than the two of them, and they get it. Elias Samson does his little singing part, and then Finn Balor comes out. They have a match. It goes about 5 minutes, and it ends when Elias Samson whacks Finn Balor over the head with a guitar. It looked pretty brutal, and if this is something to do with Finn Balor for a couple of weeks, it's fine, you know. And then Balor, when he's getting back to his feet, Bray Wyatt appears in the Tron. Let's just take a second here before we move on. David, do you realize what's happened?
What's that?
Bray Wyatt won a feud.
He did?
Against Seth Rollins.
He did, a big name, no less.
Pretty cool.
Very, very cool. Gives him more credibility now that he is in a match with Finn Balor. It's amazing, Kenny. It's almost like wins and losses mean something.
No, don't be silly. 50-50, mate, that's what it's at. Bray Wyatt did a promo. I'll be honest, the promo was a bit tune out for me because it's kind of the same promo he always does. I always think when he does the initial promo, I tune out, but then if they can get something tangible, that would be good. I do wonder if SummerSlam against Bray Wyatt is where the demon will come back.
No, that's what Val said, and she was pretty excited for it. And I'll be honest, that would be excellent, I think.
Balor Wyatt, it feels like a good fit.
It does, yeah. Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it, man. It could be a lot of fun.
I'm okay with Finn Balor doing the Elias Samson thing for a couple of weeks. In my head, though, I still just want to see Finn Balor and Lesnar at some point. I think the clash of styles could be really good, but only time will tell.
Joe's emergence... in the main event scene, did Finn Balor no favors?
Yeah, but you can tell by the way they present Finn Balor that they like him and that they want to do things with him. So I think he's fine.
Also, though, let's talk a little bit about the Damian Sandow knockoff, Elias Samson. So this fucking greenhorn has two moves, right? He has that patented Hurricane Rana. By the way, fuck you, Kenny. So he has his...
Listen, if you're not going to fucking watch the show, I want to amuse myself and have a little...
It's not my fault that my DVR fucked up, Kenny. Just like you fucked up by lying
you
to
fuck,
me.
You sucked the dick of that fictional Hurricane Rana. Oh my God. It was perfect. It was really well executed. Oh my God, it was so good. I'm glad everyone enjoyed that. And the thing was, because I knew...
I'm getting you back, Kenny.
I knew...
I never forget.
No.
I forgive, but I never forget.
Let's remember, that was not the beginning. That was the revenge for you. When I, one time, when I was busy planning tours and running this empire, that I dared to go and get a pizza from the front door, and you fucking cut your little promo. That was revenge, motherfucker. That's what that
Kenny,
was.
Kenny, you should know by now that that was my good friend Kenny McIntyre. We were cutting the one-man play, right? And I was trying to... I'm a thespian, Kenny.
Fuck you. Back to last week. The thing was, I knew that I couldn't do too many of them because you'd said that you'd saw the third hour of Raw.
So I was trying
to figure out my mind, but what ones did he definitely not see? So that's why I thought I'll do two kind of, you know, early on-ish, because he won't have a fucking clue what I'm talking about. So yeah. Ha ha ha, got you back. So.
Idiot. The other move that Damian Sandow 2 has.
Wait a minute. Could Damian Sandow hyperextend his arm? Or who was that? Who did that last week on Raw?
That was Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, she did that on Raw, didn't she?
Yeah. That would be pretty good. It'd be a lot better than the Greenhorn taking his fucking guitar and smacking Finn Balor the wrong way with it. Like, Jesus fuck, he gave Finn Balor a paper cut with a wooden guitar across his scalp. Do you know how horrible that had to hurt? Oh my God, he's gonna have a scar for the longest time. Everybody knows, Kenny, every single... Ask your good friend, Jeff Jarrett.
Sorry?
And ask your good friend, Jeff Jarrett. Jeffrey Jarrett. How to hit somebody...
Jeffrey Jarrett. Oh, God. Who apparently turned up unannounced and uninvited at Jeff Hardy's band's premiere last night in Nashville.
Did he really?
Well, Rebby Hardy. this somebody had written. What was it? Where was the thing? Hopefully, Jeff Jarrett's appearance at Jeff's after party last night at Valentine was a positive for the boys. And she replied with, "No one invited his ass. He asked if he could come and was ignored. So desperate."
Oh boy, yeah, that's a little rough. But everyone knows, especially Jeffrey Hardy. Jeffrey Jarrett, everyone knows that you hit someone with the guitar by taking the guitar over your head and striking down the way that you would take an axe to a log, Kenny. And this motherfucker's just wailing like he's fucking slinging around a baseball bat and he's in some fucking 1950s West Side Story or some shit.
Why couldn't he just drift? I loved him when he drifted.
Why couldn't he have just drifted? Away from my television set.
He was great when he was just doing a little backstage stuff. He was really funny.
Really good. I mean, he's still light years from where he was in NXT, which is something you can't say about everyone, I guess. But looking on the bright side. But
yeah, he was more over on the main roster than NXT, you're right.
Oh, yeah. Wait, one of the few stars to go from NXT to WWE and actually see a... tick up in popularity.
And it looks like we're heading towards SummerSlam. I mean, SummerSlam this year, I know they were planning on making it big, but like, if we're going to get like a Shield reunion, Balor and Wyatt, there's some big shit coming on SummerSlam, so.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a good show. I have a feeling that there will be at least three teams and a tag team match for the titles. So that could be good. Maybe the Revival will be crowned the new champs. I hope so.
Can you imagine if a certain person becomes broken the next night? Oh my God, I'm so excited. Anyway,
fingers crossed. Come on, Rebby, make it work.
Come on, Rebby. Like it's Rebby that's stopping it. Fuck's sake.
She can facilitate things, man.
I would pay good money to see. I've seen Rebby Hardy in action, like in a live environment face to face. I would love to see her face to face with Jeff Jarrett because I assure you she would tear strips off him. Actually, do you know what? WrestleMania next year, give me broken Matt Hardy and Rebby against Jeff and Karen Jarrett with Kurt Angle as the guest referee.
There you go, ladies and germs. There you go.
Anyway, so there's various segments that happen. Like, we get Kurt Angle backstage. You know, he's anxious about what's going to happen. Sasha and Bayley show up talking about getting a title shot. So next week you're going to get Bayley versus Sasha, with the winner getting a title shot at SummerSlam. I really hope that one of them wins and it's just a one-on-one, but I don't think it will happen. Then we get Dash and Dawson backstage. They talk about why they attacked the Hardys. They were saying, you know, look at our t-shirts. It says, you know, no flips, just fists, and the Hardy boys have been flipping for years. They treated the Revival like nobody's when they met them, but now they're going to treat them with the respect they deserve, and the Hardys will care about the Revival. Top guys out. Oh, I love the Revival. I'm so glad they're back.
So wonderful. Just, I absolutely... They are my favorite tag team in the WWE, my favorite tag team in the world, Kenny.
Do you know what's great about wrestling right now is that I can't tell you my favorite tag team because there's too many.
Like, yeah.
Sheamus and Cesaro are up there. The Hardys, I think, are doing really good. The Revival are great. The New Day have got a good kind of revival of popularity, I think, really.
And that's just the WWE, taking into account the Young Bucks or the Gorillas of Destiny.
Oh, there's many. War Machine. There's so many tag teams that are great right now. It's a good place to be. And tag team wrestling is doing better, which is good. But no doubt we'll get to something that people are upset about tag team wrestling about in a minute. Akira Tozawa versus Daivari. It goes about 3 minutes. Daivari gets the win because Titus O'Neil stops the match. Now, I don't know how he's allowed to stop a match, but he
is. I have no clue.
And, Any thoughts? Any fucks to give?
I mustered one fuck, and I like the idea that how toxic the Titus brand is. I'm wondering where the Titus brand goes, because I would love for him to just come out and be all like, oh yeah, by the way, we got Finn Balor now, and then Balor just goes on to win the fucking Universal title or something. Just out of nowhere, just what a spike for the, an uptick in the other direction for the Titus brand.
I mean, can you believe that we've spent so much time talking about the Titus brand? I mean,
I can't. No,
it's baffling. No, I mean, I
cannot.
But do you know what? Fair play to Titus O'Neil. He's like, I thought his little fake press conference with Charlie Caruso was really funny.
Yeah.
I think when he's doing comedy, it's good. I think when they try and be serious, it's like, I don't really buy the drama of Tozawa and Titus O'Neil. You know, it's like,
no emotional investment.
He was one towel away from being Helen Hart in the 1994 Survivor Series. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what he was trying for. And he's no fucking Helen Hart, I'll tell you that.
You need an Owen out there. Look at him, he's gonna die. Oh my god.
Okay, so it's time to talk about the segment that everybody is talking about in the wrestling world. Kurt Angle makes his entrance. He comes out, he says he's a little nervous, he's been distracted over the last couple of months. Every action has a consequence, and he's found out recently that when he dated a woman in college, that she'd actually given birth to a baby boy 9 months later. The boy was put up for adoption, raised by great parents, taught American values. He was played sports, drafted to play professional baseball, but chose to go to college, excelled in wrestling, and he pursued his dream to become a WWE superstar, and Kurt Angle introduced his son and the newest member of the Raw roster, Jason Jordan. Angle got emotional as Jason Jordan came out to the ring with a huge smile on his face, because that guy's going to make some money now. He comes out, they get in the ring, they hug. The crowd didn't go crazy for it. It was a little bit of a flat reaction compared to what I think people were hoping for. But they have a nice embrace, and that's the reveal. Before I go on a rant that I plan to go on, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? The payoff, what the possibilities are coming into it, the performers involved, all the stuff that's entrenched within this storyline that we've been having for the last couple of months.
I think that it's I think it's very interesting, is how I will phrase it. This could either be the kiss of death for Jason Jordan, or it could be the thing to propel his career. We've seen this go back and forth numerous times. This could be a star-making thing, or it could just be like Paul Heyman coming out and introducing Curtis Axel as the person he's going to advocate for next. It's very tricky, and a lot of it will depend on the performers. Jason Jordan needs to step up his game and perform like he had never has in his life up to this point. RIP American Alpha, by the way. I think if I were booking this, I think it has to go this way or else it will fail miserably. You have to have a very good progression of Jason Jordan taking advantage of his father, the GM, to put himself into position into positions that he otherwise would not be allowed to be in, which will inevitably go along with the heel turn where Jason Jordan is probably the Intercontinental Champion or something of that ilk for that brand, that mid-card champion. He has received something from it, and then it is revealed by none other than Mr. Corey Graves, of course, that Jason Jordan is not actually his son and that he just was taking advantage of him all along. That's how I think the natural progression of all this should happen. I think that is how you build a star, make him a big-time heel as opposed to a babyface. And that could be a very fun story for months to come. I would be all over that, all about that. But a lot of it's all speculation right now. But at the very least, we can be thankful that a young guy who's very talented is getting an opportunity to do something memorable on Monday Night Raw. Kenny, how do you feel about it?
Before I talk about how I feel about it, so there's a guy who follows me on Twitter who had I'd said I liked it, and he had messaged me saying, you know, do you just love everything WWE do? And I was like, have you heard me talk about Jinder Mahal? Like, have you heard me talk about how I think the WWE title has been, you know, bastardized the last couple of months? And I said, you know, I've went on record talking about how much I dislike the Jinder Mahal stuff, and he was, oh no, you're nothing, you're always kissing their arse or something like that. And I'm really sick to the back teeth of people that, see, if you don't like a storyline, that's fine, but don't rag on me because I like something, just because I want to be positive about it. Why the fuck am I going to watch this stuff if I don't either, if I'm not either optimistic about where it could go, or if I don't like some of the stuff? Because, like, I know that some people in our Facebook community didn't like it, and that's fine if you don't like it, but the thing that I don't understand is that this is a better outcome. Like,
so much better.
There's wrestling fans who go, oh my god, it needs to be more like the Attitude Era. They need to think more outside the box. They need to think more at a left field. Okay, they've just done something at left field. Oh no, but they don't like it now. They don't like doing something at left field. They wanted an affair, but if it was an affair, they wouldn't have liked the affair. If they hadn't done a story like this, they'd been like, why is it just wrestling matches? But now they've done something else, and people want to shit all over it. And I'm like,
Would they prefer that Dixie Carter comes to the WWE?
Now, don't get me wrong. I think they should have done her as a swerve appearance very briefly. I think they should have done that, because that would have been sensational. But that's just the kind of joke part of me. But I'm like, the Attitude Era, when 10 million people a week were watching this fucking stuff, they did stuff like this. And some of it worked and some of it didn't. As Karan said in the Facebook page, because I know people were going, oh, you know, it's not realistic. Kane was set on fire in his fucking family home, and then he was such a bad burn victim that he couldn't be anywhere, and then he had a mask to, you know, masquerade all the burns that he had, and then it turns out they were psychological fucking burns, and he's had a 15-year fucking career where he's a world champion, a main eventer. Did you believe that?
You got very Scottish there, Kenny.
Fucking,
are you okay?
Hell. And then I watched the little network thing, but I thought Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan put in a really good performance. Let things fucking play out, people, before you shit all over it. My God, there's a young guy here who's gonna get an opportunity to make something of himself or to do something. And it's like, is this the best storyline they could have come up with? Probably not. But do you know what? We can't always be armchair bookers about it.
Because I'll say this: he looks like Kurt Angle.
He does. He does.
He really does. Yeah, no, they did a good job with that. And furthermore, it's like walking into the movie theater, sitting down, and like you're in a horror movie or whatever, and this opening character gets killed that you're never going to see again and just go, oh, the story to this is shit, and then walking out.
Yeah. It's like, do you send more?
Wait until your seat is warm before fucking walking out on it. Jesus Christ, show a little bit of patience.
So I'm guessing a lot of people don't watch Friends, right? Because the people in Friends could never have really afforded that apartment.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, Kenny. Like, you know,
I know there's a load of you who might not like it for other reasons, and that's totally fine. I'm not saying that you have to like it, that my opinion is the only opinion.
Give it time. But even if you don't like it now, give it time. Don't shit all over it and go, this is horrible.
Like, one of the people on our Facebook page, Peter Jenkins, was talking about, you know, he's open to seeing where it goes, but he just thought the execution was a little bit flat. I think that's fair. Fair assessment.
It was a little bit flat, in all honesty. That's a fair criticism. Crowd wasn't eating it up.
But what would people have? I just don't understand what people want. And it's like, you know, people want different stuff, or they want to try different stuff, and then they do, and then they don't like it. And it's like, it goes back to this thing that I've said, and I think it's one of the downfalls of social media is that some wrestling fans, and I'm guilty of this sometimes as well, so I'm not saying that I'm not, and I try to rein myself back from it. A lot of people watch wrestling and feel like if it's not booked the exact way they want it booked, that they will be frustrated. But then they will also complain that things are too predictable.
Yeah.
It's the same. You can't have both. You know, you can only have one or the other. And it's like, they've tried something different. Kurt Angle, God bless him, he's committed to this.
He did.
He had real genuine tears. And Jason Jordan, like, you know, I know a lot of people are very upset that American Alpha have broken up.
And that's perfectly fine. If you're upset about that, then, hey, they were a great tag team.
They were a great tag team. But I think that what the plus point of it, because, yeah, you know, it sucks that American Alpha have broken up. But I think there's positives coming out of it. Chad Gable is a single star, as we saw when he faced AJ Styles on SmackDown, was a really good match. I think, you know, as in a couple of years, that guy could be, you know, a top star on that brand.
An Eddie Guerrero type of wrestler.
Kind of Chris Benoit type of wrestler, for sure. And then you've got Jason Jordan, who is not as charismatic as Chad Gable. And because some people are like, why wasn't it Chad Gable? Because Chad Gable probably doesn't need this.
And also, let's be honest, Jason Jordan looks just like Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly. He looks just like him. But also, it's like, this is the kind of thing that Jason Jordan maybe needs to propel himself a little bit. And I've been at live shows and watched Jason Jordan wrestle. The guy's good. He's really good. He's very good in the ring. He's likable. And I think the good thing about this angle is, anyway, that's my whole kind of rant about, and then some people were saying to me, well, you know, you're just as bad because you didn't give Jinder a chance. But the thing that I would say is the difference. And, you know, I'm obviously biased because I want to, you know, put my own case forward. But, like, Jinder Mahal was, all joking aside, Jinder Mahal was a jobber right after WrestleMania. And within 5 weeks, he was propelled from jobber to WWE champion. I thought it was a bad construction of that. I think this story has been much better in execution throughout. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people are kind of like, you know, well, why would Kurt Angle have thought this would ruin his career? Well, I think it makes sense. Like, an illegitimate child from his college years, like, how is family going to accept it? Like, is his wife going to be okay that he's now got this child? Like, that's real-life issues that do affect people and are problems. You know, like, it's not... People aren't just like, you have a kid from when you fucked this girl in college? Oh, that's cool. That's not how that conversation works.
No.
So I think that will make sense, whereas with Jinder Mahal, the story was bad, the execution was poor, the guy hadn't been built up enough, and then, like I said at the time, if he had somehow become this like great success and had been really good, I would have completely put my hands up and said I'm wrong. But I wasn't wrong about it, because his promos have been the same for 10 weeks, they've not got any better, his matches are boring, and... Just look at, like, go and look at some of the SmackDown fucking TV shows, like, some of the attendances. Battleground is nowhere near sold out. These are all things that are contributed by that storyline. That's why I think these are two different things. Whereas with Jason Jordan, you've got a guy who's already established, a former NXT Tag Team Champion, former SmackDown Tag Team Champion. Yeah, he wasn't booked greatly on SmackDown the last 6 months, but he has a little bit of a lineage, and he's not being propelled to be the world champion. He's being put in a...
I was going to say, the difference there is if Kurt Angle brought him in and then he won the fucking title in a week, then yeah, like if he beat Brock Lesnar, yeah, no, then that would be the same as the Jinder Mahal thing. And even then,
it would be better. It'd be much better.
Yeah, and even then, it would still be better because A, there would be a story, and thus, you know, like an actual angle propelling it, and B, Jason Jordan's win-loss record is sure as fuck a lot better than Jinder Mahal's was leading up to his title win.
Yeah, so I think that the story is good, and you know, if you watch the network interview that they did, what was really interesting about it was, you know, Renee Young talked about, oh, you know, there's a term that's, you know, ballied around that's called a push. You know, what do you think your push is going to be? And Jason Jordan's like, no, I don't want preferential treatment. I'm here to wrestle and to, you know, to do this on my own. And that's great. And there's so many possibilities of where this can go. I saw a thing today, I can't remember who it was from, but somebody said, I mean, can you imagine like Coach Angle with Jason Jordan and they're a heel duo? Oh my God, that could be incredible.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's so many ways you can go with it. There's so many different directions you can take it. And I just, like, when I saw it, I was kind of like, oh, I did not expect that, and I think that's actually quite cool. Like, I like the idea of Jason Jordan getting a push, and it's shaking things up, and it's giving Kurt Angle more of a purpose, and yeah, I just like it. I don't know how else I can put it.
Yeah, no, I am also a fan of it, and before we go burying it, let's see where it goes. That's all I ask of you people. Just let it play out.
And yeah, I mean, it could be, like, people are saying, you know, it might just be a 6-month storyline and be nothing after that. It might be, you know, like, but that's, with anything, that's what it could be. So,
yeah.
And it's, listen, I'm not saying that it's the most believable story in the world. It's absolutely fucking bonkers.
Oh, yeah, bonkers. But so is wrestling.
But remember that the main eventer attempted murder against someone, and he walked out, and the person he attempted to murder walked out 8 days later fine.
And not only that, the guy that won the number one contendership is not in one of the number one contenders.
Exactly. So there's.
So I mean,
if you go down the rabbit hole of being like, this isn't believable, maybe wrestling is not the best place to watch, because you know, like, do you watch Shikara and be like, oh, that time travel, that wasn't believable. I don't believe they could have gone back that far.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's just, it's so problematic to, but I think Angle is committing to it. Angle's really committed to it. I thought Jason Jordan came across really well in the interview as well. I thought that he did a good job of carrying his end of it. So, I don't think he's going to be, like, a main eventer straight away or anything, but I think that he's going to be an interesting addition to the mid-card.
Yeah.
And being with Kurt Angle gives you... It gives you the best possible chance to be able to showcase yourself in a certain way.
This is going to give him the perfect opportunity to make himself a star.
So we'll see how that goes next week. I'm curious to see what Jason Jordan's going to be doing at SummerSlam. Actually, I'm curious to see where that goes. So then we get the Revival against the Hardys, and they have a match that goes about 15 minutes. Excellent match. Really excellent match. And in the end, Jeff, there's a point where you think that the Hardys are going to get the victory, but you know, one of the Revival kick out. And then in the end, Wilder trips Jeff when he's about to do his Swanton, and Dawson pins him, and the Revival get the win. And I thought it was just, like... Say what you want about the Hardys, right? But this is the second feud now that the Hardys are in since they've come back, where the matches are just, like, really strong.
Yeah. No. They're just on the top of the game, man. They really are.
And for guys who are, like, 40, you know, like, they could easily have come back and just coasted, but they've not. So, fair play. And the Revival are just doing great.
They're doing some of their, like, best stuff in years, I think. Maybe even, like, just best stuff overall. Like, the matches and the pacing to their matches. It feels like they're older and wiser, but also they're smarter in when they take those bumps.
Well, it's like when Shawn Michaels reached like 40. Like, I would say his matches were at their best in those kind of last 5 years that he had in WWE.
You gain wisdom as the further you go.
Yeah, you know. I guess that once you know when to do a move, you know when you need to do something or whatever. And I think the Revival and the Hardys should be a fun feud. I'm interested to see where Sheamus and Cesaro fit into that as well.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Samoa Joe has an interview backstage where he talks about he doesn't fear Brock Lesnar. He says that Reigns thinks he's an obstacle in his way to Lesnar, but he'll find out that he's much more than that. Samoa Joe says that Reigns was laid out and his hand was raised in victory the two times they met, and he says tonight the third time will be the charm. Samoa Joe is such a good promo. Such a good promo.
One of the best in the company. He's definitely one of the guys that feels the most comfortable on a microphone.
Yeah, he does, and I think that he's, you know, like, and it's funny because I read a quote from somebody who said that they thought that Raw was just an absolute terrible show.
What?
Let me just. It's a guy who, he does a podcast in the UK. Andy Evans, his name is. I think he does like he used to do the Total Wrestling podcast or something. Anyway, he said. Let me just get the quote here. After watching WWE Raw last night, actually glad I've stopped watching WWE religiously. The program was awful and the whole Kurt Angle announcement was a waste of time. Much prefer Global Force Wrestling, Ring of Honor and New Japan, really enjoyable shows. First of all, to put Global Force in with Ring of Honor and New Japan is worthy of medical attention. Maybe I'm in my optimism bubble again, but like, I just thought some of the stuff in this show was really good.
I did too, actually.
The Hardys and the Revival stuff, like the Kurt stuff was good. I liked the Finn Balor Wyatt start. Cass looked good. The opening segment with Ambrose and Rollins was good, and the main event was really fun. So yeah, I'm just kind of clueless to that.
It boggles my mind. I mean, hey. The guy can do whatever he wants. He can say anything that he wants to, you know. But,
oh, of course.
I mean, but
yeah,
fuck, man.
Baffling. But we get hyped for next week. There's going to be Balor and Samson in an ODQ match. Sasha versus Bayley for the title shot at SummerSlam. And Ambrose and Rollins against the Miztourage. So, pretty stacked show for next week. We get Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe, winner gets a Universal title shot at SummerSlam. The match goes about 20 minutes. Again, these guys work really well together.
So, yeah, they really do. They really do.
So, because the point where Reigns got the Superman, Reigns did the was it the Superman punch he did, but it was like you thought he was going to get the win and Joe kicked out?
Yeah, I think it was a super. I don't think he hit a spear the whole match. So yeah. Okay.
But that near fall, I bet for that 100%. Hook, line, and sinker. I was like, oh no, he's gonna win it.
You know what I loved? I loved whenever he missed the drive-by on the outside, and he ended up planting them on the apron instead.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That was really cool. Yeah,
these are two great main event level wrestlers. You know, like
they are, and I hope whenever Roman inevitably gets that title, that Joe will be one of the guys that he has a good little back and forth with.
Well, that you know, because that's the great story is that Samoa Joe has never been beaten by Roman Reigns, and that should be part of the story whenever he's champion.
Yeah.
So they're both. So Reigns hits a Superman punch. He's kind of trying to get up. Joe's laid out. And Braun Strowman's music hits. Oh!
You know, the second that his music hit, I popped, like, big time, audibly, fucking leaned up and said, yeah! And started clapping. I was all about it. And I said, there is a God! And Val just deadpans. No, like, zero response time. Just goes, no, there isn't, but this is great.
Gotta love an atheist.
Didn't skip a beat.
Nope,
love my wife.
She's got love those one-liners wife. Down to a T. Braun comes out. He pulls Joe out of the ring like a fucking towel. He goes in. Tries to get to Reigns. He climbs over the top rope, but Roman Reigns hits him with an uppercut. They battle on the outside. He tosses Roman Reigns through the ropes inside the ring. Oh, so good.
That was one of the coolest spots that I've seen from the outside to the inside ever, I think.
Oh, yeah. Really strong. And then Joe gets back to his feet and starts trading punches with Strowman. Then Strowman pulls him in for a clothesline. And then so all this back and forth. But basically, Strowman absolutely mauls both of them. and then just lets out a war cry and leaves. And I don't know if I'm being too presumptuous here, but David, do you think that we might be getting a Fatal 4-Way?
We're getting that Fatal 4-Way, Kenny. Ah! There's no doubt about it. We're going to get it. I cannot wait for it. I am so excited. I am so pumped. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. Kenny, I love it.
I'm so excited at the idea of a Fatal 4-Way match with Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Brock Lesnar. I mean, that is your closing show match at SummerSlam. Nothing's touching that.
Just so you know, you did just mispronounce Braun Strowman's name.
Did I?
Yeah. You said Braun Strowman, and everyone knows it's Braun! So I just wanted to correct you.
Thank you for correcting me. I would never want the listeners to think that I don't do my research. So thank you for I'll make sure and bear that in mind.
You're welcome.
Out of 10, what would this show get for you?
Easy peasy breezy, beautiful cover girl. It is a 8 out of 10, Kenny. Very solid show. Loved every moment of it except the moments that I did not love. Kenny, what would you give this show?
I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna go with an 8 as well. I was thinking about an 8.5, but I think there was a little bit too much filler for an 8.5. I'm gonna give it an 8 as well.
A whole lot of Titus Brand on this show.
Yep. But you know, you had the Ambrose and Rollins stuff. You had the beginnings of Bray and Finn. You had the main event with Roman, Braun, and Joe. You had the stuff with the Hardys and the Revival. You had the Kurt Angle reveal. A lot of good stuff on this show. So let us know what you think. Please get in touch with us on Twitter and, you know, let us know. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? We would love to hear from you. So thanks for listening. David, where can people find you on Twitter?
It's been 1 year, you guys. 1 year of wonderful podcasts with my good friend, my close personal buddy, Kenny McIntosh. And if you enjoyed this 1 year of Inside the Ropes, let us know on Twitter. You can find me at Zoopsoul, that's ZOOPSOUL, just like Jeff Jarrett would say. I am great. But you guys, all this wouldn't be possible without you guys. So for every ounce, for every iota of greatness that I am, you are that times five. Ladies and germs, and if you're offended by ladies and gentlemen, then whatever preferred nomenclature you would take to heart is what I will tell you. But this has been a wonderful year. Let us know what your favorite moments of the Raw Rundown have been. That way we can think back and go, oh yeah, we were pretty fucking stupid on that one. So yeah. It's been a lot of fun. Kenny, where can they find you on that Google machine?
You can find me on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Just to clarify, Global Force Wrestling handle is still available. So it's under strong consideration to get it. But yeah, thank you so much to everyone in the last 12 months who's listened to this podcast and made it the most popular podcast of all the Inside the Ropes podcasts. So very much appreciated. Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, David, for coming and doing the show. I'm glad that we can make you laugh a little bit and make you forget about some shit. We love hearing from you, so please keep getting in touch with us on Twitter and the Facebook community and all that good stuff. And I can tell you now that this week, David and I did book our hotels for New Orleans, Louisiana.
We will be there.
Next year, Sondra, David, myself, we may need to try and kidnap Robert. I don't know how that's going to go. But the three of us, at the very least, will be there in New Orleans WrestleMania weekend. So we'll make sure and have a way that you can come and hang out with us and have some beverages. And have a good week, everybody. And what's the thing you usually say? Say something nice to somebody you don't know or something?
Do something nice. For someone that you don't know, if it is buying their groceries behind you in the checkout line, paying for their Starbucks, since we were on the Starbucks conversation, giving them a reach around, whatever makes them happy, Kenny, that's what you need to start doing right now. Go out and do it today. Go out to that Starbucks that you were at and find that guy who said that his cash register made him so happy that day. You find him and you give him $500 US, even though you're Scottish and you're in Canada. Give him US dollars, okay?
He won't know how much it is. That's difficult for me to do.
He won't know how much it is. You won't know how much it is. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Where do you go from there? Remember,
straight to hell.
Remember to tip people. That's my advice. Tip people.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tip graciously. You know, yeah, I mean, around every time, like for my mom's birthday, because my mom was always big on doing nice random acts of kindness. For my mom's birthday, I will go out to a restaurant, whatever restaurant I choose, so long as the service was good. You tip them $20. You know, the average tip is like 4, so 20's nice. Good tip.
I always try and tip at least 20%.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Unless I'm like buying something that's like $500, in which case I'm like, well, maybe we'll go for 10.
Right. Yeah.
But so like I go out and buy $500 things, cheap as shit. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And just remember, if you are of an age where you could have fucked somebody in college, just double check.
Double check. Make sure that you remember names, numbers, social security numbers. I know I do.
I mean, it's not a big fucking list to keep, but okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to remember, like David remembered his three, remember yours.